Susan, since they're new on board.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know both of them are quite familiar with the recs and the programs, but we did go a little bit more in depth. But I just want to point out some things. You know, right now the athletics are full on. Our youth basketball is going, and we'll be working on our adult sports, which we are registering now, and they'll be starting in March. The only thing that will not be starting in March is the 3-on-3 adult basketball, because we will be installing the retractable goals, so the gym will pretty much be closed during the month of March.
That's the estimated installation time.
Mm-hmm.
Is March, basically.
Yes.
1 to 31. Mm-hmm. And more.
I don't think it'll be that long, but just to err on the side of caution, if you tell folks it's only going to be a week, then they come back, well, you said.
Yeah,
so
right.
We just thought we'd err on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. if they get it, get them installed, and we can get open center, obviously.
And when all is involved with, like, what's the process for install? It takes a long time, but, like, what do you have to really get in there? Do they have to?
Right, because these are going into the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, we put that drop ceiling in several years ago, so you know they're going to have to take some of the panels out to access the beams, and mm-hmm. so it's going to be kind of messy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did talk with them about maybe having part of the gym accessible, but that would just make it more difficult for them, because mm-hmm. then at the end of the day they've got to clean up and
right.
so and move things that children don't climb on, or adults climb on things. They could be adults too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just easier if they come in and able to have access to the gym and just. Mm-hmm. Get the
knock
project
it out.
Done. Mm-hmm. The cardio room will still be available, though. It's just the gymnasium itself. You know, we won't have volleyball games or basketball game, and there'll be no open gym during that time.
Yeah.
But like I said, we estimate maybe 2 weeks to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what you're going to run into, so that's why we're just saying the month. But once again, if they get in and get out, well, you know, everything will be open. So.
And the benefits for having, this is new, like you're adding in retractable, right?
We are.
And so that's going to help you change over for different sports and that kind of thing?
It does. And the other reason, the goals we have right now, the portable goals, have they're bad on the gymnasium floor. And they cause the, because they're so heavy, they cause the floor to cup and shift. And so we're trying to eliminate that factor, and plus other people try to move them and they shouldn't to
okay.
get out of the way, and this way the retractable ones will come down, we'll have full control of that, and we can get rid of the other portable so that we can put the new flooring in.
That's yeah.
The floor we have now has been there 20 years, and I'm just laughing at you because I remember the old floor.
I know.
Actually, it's outlived its
mm-hmm.
useful life, but we take really good care of things at the rec center and get more life out of a lot of things than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be in the budget for next year, a request for next year. And just to let you know, I also have some PAR grant money to help offset that cost.
Yay.
And I've applied for a little bit more, so it might be that we have, I'm hoping about $13,000 go towards the gymnasium floor.
Wonderful.
So
that's great.
So that will help a little bit, because gym floor is expensive.
Yeah.
So don't be in too shock when I come to you for those amounts. But it gets a lot of wear and tear, and it's a necessity.
It's a valuable resource.
Yes, it is. So then going down to events and activities. I think I told you last week, and I'll tell you again, we are slammed because we have so much coming down the tubes. We're dealing with some new employees, some new staff, and so Carrie and I are stepping up to the plate, and it's not killing us, but it's getting close. But our teenagers luncheon is Wednesday. We have that first Wednesday of every month, September through May. Anywhere from 45 to 60 people attend that. It's a great covered dish luncheon and little program that we have. We do have an employee wellness program. I haven't talked too much about that. And a little bit of it's kind of falling through the cracks right now because I'm focusing on training our new staff. So But we don't drop it. I mean, employees are still participating in wellness, and of course we have a big wellness fair in September, which we're already working on. So you'll get, you'll see more of that. Some of our upcoming things, our performance workshop began February the 1st. We have, what, 10 children in that? And it's awesome. They're so excited, and they're doing such a good job. And then they'll do a little production on April the 19th. Cupid's Card Shop. As I said, the city's killing us because we have the forum on Thursday night. We have this and our other program, and so we're bouncing everything around that afternoon. So I may be in tennis shoes trying to get everything set up and organized for that event. But we had, I think, 24-ish children participating in that last year, because I halfway considered not doing it. But then I looked at the numbers last year, and I said, you know, we have to do it. So we will do that. Doggy Day at the Rec is this coming weekend.
That's right.
It's a great event. We've talked it up. I think we're going to have a good crowd there. It's where you get your rabies, your city licenses for Isle of Palms residents. And we'll have lots of vendors there, a chance to adopt a dog, and if in fact you need one. Susan Merritt, who does our dog training, will be on site to ask the trainer. To answer questions people may have about, you know, what do I do when my dog does this and that sort of stuff. Our Front Beach Fest, we're working on that. That's March the 3rd. We're going to have the TAMS again, and the holiday band will open up for them from 12 to 2, and then the TAMS from 2 to 4. The Arts and Crafters, I think we have all we can manage. We have a waiting list for that. But, you know, it's this the committee's responsibility to bring the weather. we'll bring the event. You guys bring the weather.
And before you leave that one, just for everybody's kind of getting things straight in their head, that is the same. That morning will be the Wild Dunes Community Association's annual meeting. Mm-hmm. So likely your day is going to go annual meeting, lunch, Front Beach Fest. So it will be a what I call a cereal city day.
Mm-hmm. Cereal recreation days we have every day. And then we're working on Easter Hunt, which is March the 31st, 10 a.m. sharp. Most of you are familiar with that. And then our yard sale, April 14th, and we already have people signing up for that. So that's a good event. The next page, you'll see the cardio room averages participation. What's really interesting is the total number of participants for the month of January was 385 as compared to 288 last year at the same time. So I thought that was interesting. And the average daily participation has gone up from, it is 18 now when it was 12 the same time last year. So we're seeing a really uptick. Of course, January is always a busy mm-hmm. month, but there's definitely an uptick. And I don't know that it's not, the people are more aware that it's there. Might be part
that.
Of it.
Yeah,
I do see a younger age group coming in now, whereas before it was really folks 50 and above. But I think we're getting some younger walk-ins now.
Jacqueline likes it. I mean, mm-hmm. she's at college now, but
right.
she enjoyed mm-hmm. using it.
And that's my report. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them for you.
Anybody?
This is just thinking out loud, but I was wondering if you guys have ever done a class, like a safety class, self-defense kind of class.
We have.
You have. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like it's something I've always thought that would be nice for my daughters to attend.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I don't know if...
It doesn't mean we can't try it again.
And I don't know if... with the current events, if that might be mm-hmm. something that might okay. resonate with people more right now.
Typically what we do in classes too, just so you're aware, we start new classes in September because the summer, a lot of our classes they slow down. I mean, a lot stay active, but it kind of slows down. The other thing is getting the word out. So we try to schedule new classes about the time the new activity guide comes out. Mm-hmm. That way we get it out to everybody, because I found if we, let's say we decided to do a self-defense class in 2 weeks, it's not going to go.
Oh, right. And I wasn't thinking about anything immediate. Right. I was just, and I don't know if you all, what you all think. And I would think maybe more of a one day kind of deal would be, for me, would, if I were going to send my kids up for, I think that's
just a one
like
day.
Overview kind of thing. But I don't, you know, I haven't actually asked around a lot about it to know if that might be something that people would be interested in. But I would sign my daughters up for it if I could, if it fit with their schedule. I know that would be a challenge too to find a day that would be good.
Perfect.
Definitely working into. Thanks so much, team, for the report.
Thank you.
They have no old business listed, so we'll move on to new business. And first item on that is the discussion of potential farmers market changes. And farmers market was a huge success this past year.
So I put that on, and because I kind of wrote this out. I think a lot of people were enthusiastic about it last fall, but there were challenges, I think, in that affected attendance and sustainability in terms of getting a critical mass in there over that period of time. And some of them were weather related and that kind of thing. And so off and on through that season where they were having the market, and after, I have been talked sporadically with Rebecca and Jessica and Lewis, the organizers of the market, about potential adjustments to the location and timing, and that maybe we could come up with an even better dynamic that would make the market more successful and maybe prove beneficial to the city in other ways. So I was wanting us to explore and discuss, and also with the market organizers, although they're not here right now, the possibility of the market moving to the Front Beach Commercial District, either in one of the city parking lots or in a similar fashion to the street festivals, but on a smaller scale with the streets blocked. That's not an original idea from me. The person who mentioned it to me first was Sandy Friends, when we happened to be discussing things just in conversation during the fall. But I'm not sure if maybe other people have had that thought. And when I mention it to people, they're like, yeah, that would be cool. In addition to that, thinking about the possibility of exploring and discussing changing the timing from weekly to once a month, so that it's more spread out, maybe from April to September. I'm not sure about the, sometime during the week, maybe Thursday might be a good time. Maybe the third Thursday of each month might work nicely with other city events that are already on the calendar. And the monthly idea actually came up when I was talking with Joe from Coconut Joe's, and we were just discussing a lot of different things. And he's high on the farmers market, but saw some issues with it being at the county park. I think we all probably are familiar with issues that came up with the county park, including parking not being free there. Although we offered parking for free at the city lot, there's some physical and emotional barriers, I guess, to getting people to walk that block and to be able to carry watermelons and that kind of thing back and forth. Anyway, so he had mentioned the monthly idea, and he was also high on pushing it to Front Beach. That I don't know if that might be the same for the other Front Beach businesses, it was something similar to an idea that just was in the back of my head, that we might try to do something on Front Beach similar to what City of Charleston does with the second Sunday event, but during the week. So potential benefits would be easier parking for residents and other locals to help boost attendance. And the boosting attendance, I think, is important just to having vendors, sustaining vendors, because I know there was concern and some vendors like that bus, the veggie bus that came out, they just have to have a certain number of traffic to come back to make it worth their time. So, and then other potential benefits is I think it could draw residents more to Front Beach, the commercial district, and help it make it more of a community focal point. Still draw in, the additional traffic from off-island to keep it sustainable for vendors. An immediate benefit to Front Beach businesses potentially to increase local traffic on a slower day of the week, if it's on a weekday like Thursday. And then a long-term benefit to businesses, hopefully, by building better connections with residents so that they are reminded of what all is there and they get in the habit of going there, not just for the farmers market, but whenever, to meet friends and that kind of thing. And then monthly instead of weekly, making the market more of an event and less likely that enthusiasm might fall off. And that you can't say, I'll go next week. It's not something you can put off and then just get in the habit of not going. And could provide an avenue for residents who are young professionals with or without kids to connect, which is something that I heard in introducing myself to people during the election. There was one couple that said they've moved here recently and then they were looking for a new house on the island, but they know that there's other young professionals their age. They don't have kids yet, so they like the rec center, but a lot of it's geared towards kid, they're looking for something that they can connect with other people in the community that are their age, and something. They're looking for something, and it seemed like that kind of regular event on a monthly basis might be helpful. And then other ways would spread the work out through the year and might make it more doable for volunteers and potentially, and you guys can fill me in on how the relationship between the city. I don't know exactly how you all had set it up in terms of how that was getting done. I think Desiree was helping. But maybe this would make it more doable for city staff to assist. And for example, lend some expertise at least on event planning. But I know they were willing to take that on, but I wouldn't, it's volunteers, and you do have somebody in that mix, Jessica, who professionally puts on markets, so she knows what she's doing, but she's doing that as a volunteer basis. So you do have a great resource in your volunteer base to, and they're excited. And I bounced this off of them in a group email, and they sounded like they were like, yeah, I think that could be a good way to go. So I got good initial feedback from them, and I know that they're meeting with you, Desiree, in a week or two.
Yeah, I believe it's the mid of February.
But I wanted to go ahead and bring it up now to talk, if we were really going to think about maybe starting a monthly thing in April, to go ahead and start the conversation and get feedback from you all, city staff, to thoughts on logistics, scheduling, potential costs, which if we shut the street down, I mean, you could do it without shutting the street down and do it in one of the city parking lots. But you could also do it, if you did shut the street down, I'd like to know what all the dynamics are of that and potential costs. And then I think we'd have to talk about striking a balance with food trucks, which is something that Joe was like, it would be great, but you'd have to put a limit on the food trucks or it might not go well with the...
brick and mortar.
Yeah. And then other ways, connecting and reaching out to Front Beach businesses to get their input, besides Coconut Joe's, to see how we can involve them and make sure that they do think that this would be a good thing for them, or, work towards it, making sure it is a good thing for them.
So. I think those are valid ideas. One thing I'd like to ask the administration is, what are some of the issues that we had with it, with the farmers market? I think we had some good response from the residents. I think there were some scheduling conflicts, and I think it was just because a lot of it was with the election, some of it was with weather. But the administration, Linda, do we have problems, or was it
So a lot
what
of
was your after action type stuff you guys had, and
that's what the meeting that I have next week
with
them. It's just going over last season and having a sort of an after action meeting.
Right.
Most of the issues that we heard repeatedly was the issue of parking.
Mm-hmm.
People just assuming that they can park there and having to turn around and then walk.
Right.
Being angry when they were told to pay.
Right.
But yeah, they have to pay.
Right.
Another issue was sort of the timing, because it was late. It was on August through October.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of October, it was already dark at 7.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of vendors were complaining that people were leaving around 6:30, and they still had an hour or 45 mm-hmm. minutes left of the market. I think most of it was that.
Okay.
The timing and the parking.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why the county park was selected, though, by the volunteers, and they spent a long time making that decision, was because we had availability of electricity. There were a lot of amenities that the county park staff and that location offered
mm-hmm.
that we had complications with when we talked about the city parking lots and things of that nature. So it made a good partnership with the county park for those reasons. It was those things were taken into consideration.
Okay.
But I don't want to minimize this amount of, recreation was very clear from the onset last mm-hmm. year. They didn't have time to take it on
mm-hmm.
with everything else that they have that they're doing, and so it did require some hands-on attention from Desiree as well as every farmers market. We had some members of the police department that would go out there to mark the spaces mm-hmm. and everything
mm-hmm.
and then one of the things that just logistically I noticed was that if you happen to be a vendor that was on the east side, then you had the sun
mm-hmm.
just bearing down, right in your face. And it was there were more days of hot than there were the pleasant days. And if you were on the other side, you didn't. So people just naturally seek shelter, So so if you were fortunate enough to be on the other side, and that made me think about if it continued in that location, if it could be switched mm-hmm. around so everybody had, equivalent amount of sun in their eyes, and it made it a little mm-hmm. bit fairer. But, there are significant logistics to putting something like this on.
Mm-hmm.
And, April through September, I have to wonder if Coconut Joe's, if Joe Petro actually suggested those dates, because that is peak season we're full down at the front beach.
Mm-hmm. He said during the week, if it's a weekday, mm-hmm. he said it's actually not as busy as you might think in terms of parking, filling mm-hmm. up the parking lot. And to him, he said, we talked about days of the week, and I think he was like Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. He said they're actually busy on Mondays. The weekend seems to spill into mm-hmm. Monday. And so Friday through Monday would not be a good time. But he said any of those other days, he sees room for bringing people in, mm-hmm. and it would actually maybe be a benefit to them to pull in more traffic that way. So
one thing that, thinking back about how it was done last year, we had over 50 vendors
mm-hmm.
sign up, and it was the first time, and we had the space to accommodate everybody, but that made some vendors be repetitive. So we had several veggie vendors, several mm-hmm. cheese vendors, and
mm-hmm.
that would be something that I would suggest, cutting it back to less vendors so that you don't have, you need that much more people
to
come mm-hmm. so that they can make business if you mm-hmm. have,
they're not competing with each other.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Although I will say, I was kind of disappointed personally that there weren't more farmers, actual farmer vendors,
mm-hmm.
and there was usually only one or two, and I think it's at least when I go, it's been a while since I've been to the Mount Pleasant one, but usually at a farmer's market, you have some choice.
Produce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, produce choices.
Number Jean, you here?
Yeah, I was just getting, just from, just being an event planner and knowing how this works, it's going to be difficult to do it on the street, only because you've got to get the cars off the street somehow. So
right, so we'd have
at
to
some
block
point,
it off. Yeah.
You've got to tell these people they have to move their vehicles.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
So what you're doing is creating an event once a month. And that's not easy. I mean, that because you've got to close from J.C. Long all the way to Pavilion.
And it has to be manned by the police
and
department.
And it has to be, I mean, you're talking about a lot of city resources to make that happen. I mean, you know, the parking lot might be a alternative, but, you know, I, the other thing, I feel like if we did once a month on the street, now you're competing with Front Beach Fest, you're competing with the things we're doing.
I was wondering about that, and what you would think about that.
But I will tell you, this, doing it once a month is going to be a huge challenge if you do it on the street.
Okay.
I mean, that's going to be a full-time job for somebody.
So, but is it the once a month, or is it the street, really, that makes it the challenge?
The street makes it terribly challenging.
Okay.
I don't, unless you hire some employees, I don't know how you're going to make that happen.
Okay.
Moving forward, I'd like to see how your after-action meeting goes. You can bring that back in from anytime we can get more volunteers involved and less city staff involved, it's phenomenal. So, I mean, it's, I think it turned out to be a great program. And if we have to move it to one of the city lots, I don't know, adjust the times or what have you, I mean, I mean, that's one of the things we can look at and talk with them about it. Yeah.
The city lot would be a potential other option if it really is not doable, or, you know, would be a lot to shut down the streets.
Yes. And there's a lot of, there's a lot going into shutting down streets for
there's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, not,
And so I think it's worth. I think the county. Well, I think the county park. You had the parking thing in the confusion over I'm not allowed to park there, get in there for free, that was causing some ill will. And that site in a way is great, in some respects, because it's just a nice setting with space. But on the flip side, residents don't actually use the county park that much because they go to their own slice of beach. So so I don't even know if people are that familiar. Like, a lot of people are, like, not familiar. But the other thing that I've heard tossed around was, you know, trying to do it at the rec center. And I think you all probably talked about that last
go-round.
Yeah,
we don't have anywhere to put it at the rec center. We can't take those vehicles and things on the fields,
right?
So we there's really nowhere to put them.
Okay, because I've had people, other people, mention to me, "Oh, wouldn't the rec center be a great location?" And in my head, I see people playing in the park, and but I know you've got stuff.
We have
going
lots
on.
Of stuff. Well, you know, and it, even last year and. From the very beginning, I said, we just can't take this on. And as it was going on, almost every Thursday, I said, thank goodness we didn't volunteer for this because we had so much going on. Even them coming to pick up the tent and the extension cord became challenging some of those days because the tent was there. It was not there. They would leave it outside. You know, it became a little bit challenging for us, and we had very little involvement with it. But.
Well, if we did it at the city lot. You set it up at the lot behind the public safety building. Would that be enough space, do you think?
Lot back there? That's a gravel lot.
Yeah, it'd have to be the opposite lot.
The other lot.
Okay. I think, like I said, we'll get more information, pull out of that. And I think one of the best things would be is try to work with the county and find a way if we can have a better parking plan with them
That too.
Is, you know, if we could have it, that maintain it, that spot. It is an off-season kind of at that point where we had it. I mean, it was driving people into the county parks.
They were very clear from the very beginning that create precedent if they offer free parking for that event.
Right, not others.
What if there was something else we could, maybe not a free, but we have something, an arrangement with them where we're not setting the precedent, but everybody kind of wins, where it's like, I don't know what the solution is, but even if we're just paying an event fee, that's nominal, that's a lot less than shutting down a street, for example, in terms of costs, but it's kind of solving that need.
Well, that's something that we can look into and see if, you know, what the cost would be for the city and if the city's willing to incur that cost.
And I think the funny thing, too, though, is in October previously, they just had free parking, I think is what I had heard from.
It's a lower rate.
But
it's not free parking.
Okay.
No free parking.
Well, at some point during the season, do they charge? They continue to charge people even through the winter time.
Either open or it's not, and if it's open, they charge for parking. And they were really clear about that. And but that doesn't mean that we couldn't perhaps make some pay arrangement. That this, but I just don't know how we would distinguish between their other customers and and, you know, the city customers.
But by 4 o'clock in the afternoon,
it's still busy. It's busy.
People are going there.
People go to the beach. One of the motives for, you mentioned that our residents don't go to the county park or perhaps have never been there. That was one of the motives for the choice, was that, again, it would sort of help them to know what amenities were there. And I often saw kids that had come to the market with their parents over on the playground area. Okay. So there, you know, there were some ancillary benefits
to that.
We just, you know, the problem with these things is typically all you hear are the complaints. You don't necessarily hear, hey, I went there, I didn't even know they had all that play equipment there. And so,
and I guess the overriding concern is just making sure that there's enough traffic that it's sustainable for vendors. I really want it to be for residents and it be a benefit to residents. But if in the long run the vendors can't make it and you don't have enough vendors, it's not going to sustain it.
I would say we'll find out more information when you meet with them. They still want to be more and they involved, and we can utilize their services as opposed to utilizing.
They're definitely enthusiastic.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll report on that in the next meeting as well. Then we'll move on to discussion of opening a rec center on Sunday afternoons. This one brought up before a few times.
Right. We have been open on Sundays before. And in fact, we had the adult volleyball games on Sunday afternoons for a while. The reason we stopped opening on Sundays because we had trouble staffing. Currently, we have 5 what I call year-round part-time employees. And they're good. They do an excellent job. They keep the scores for the games, help supervise the buildings on Tuesday nights and Saturdays. But just for an example, this past Saturday I had one that had the flu, had one at band competition, one at SAT. So I had to work the game Saturday because I didn't have enough people to supervise the building and work basketball games. Do I have some applicants? I do, but that doesn't mean that they have the qualities that we need for somebody to supervise the building, because it's not as though I can have somebody there just to supervise the building, because if it's open and somebody comes in, they want to sign up for a class, then that person has to be able to do the rec track, to take money, and that sort of, you know, sort of things. And it's a big building, so we have to have somebody at the front desk, so that people don't wander down the hallway and block doors open and things of that nature. Folks will say we'll work on Sundays, but all of a sudden they come in, oh, my parents plan to go out of town this weekend, I can't go out of town. So the biggest problem is staffing. The other thing that's discerning is when nobody shows up on a Sunday, which has happened. You know, I have 2 people sitting there and nobody shows up. So then they don't want to work on Sundays anymore. So, you know, we're open almost 400 hours a month. You know, we some nights we close at 10, some nights it's 9, some nights it's 7. So, you know, I think we're open enough.
Well, so what do you have during the week in terms of gym time, open gym time?
Gyms open almost all day, every day, and I know it's during the daytime, but every night we have classes in there, or either games. Now, Saturday from 1 to 5, it's open gym. Anybody can come in. What a lot of I'm sorry, Carrie, you want to say something?
Well, it is basketball season until the end of this month.
Oh, that's true.
So mm-hmm. open gym is very limited right now, like you'll find in all of Charleston County, because it's youth basketball season.
Mm-hmm.
So starting as we get our goals done would be when it's pretty much open.
Right. But then when the weather starts getting nice, people don't come in the gym anyway. You know, you have a couple of kids come in and they'll shoot for 15 or 20 minutes and then they leave. So it's kind of hit or miss. But I just, staffing's the biggest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we keep the side restrooms open in the gym. Mm-hmm. So people in the playground or playing around outside always have access to bathrooms. So that's not an issue either. So I I'd like for us to have that day off, if mm-hmm. you will.
Well, I know two constituencies and they're represented in my household.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group of men who play regularly on Saturday mornings at the outdoor
mm-hmm.
courts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably, I'm guessing 20 to 30 regulars that mm-hmm. aren't always showing up at the same time, but it's a substantial group.
Oh, they all said they've got the courts are used a lot.
Yeah, yes. They've gotten in a great rhythm of mm-hmm. playing together mm-hmm. and it's a lot of them are residents. They're not all residents.
Mm-hmm.
And they really they play outside because they can't play inside on Saturday mornings. Because of Taekwondo. Mm-hmm, it's usually mm-hmm. what Taekwondo's schedule is.
They have classes Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Mm-hmm. I mean, Saturdays. Saturday mornings, they're in the gym from 9 to noon.
Okay. And then, but they would really like to have an opportunity to have full court basketball and Sundays. I guess you may have. To where I guess they would also like the opportunity to maybe be able to reserve so that they know that they can play mm-hmm. full court. And then otherwise, you've got kids I know from Tyson's age group, and I feel like if he may not be representative, but they would love to be in their playing as mm-hmm. well on Sundays, using the indoor facility for when they can't play out and it's outside because mm-hmm. of weather related mm-hmm. reasons. And to me, it just seems like we've got this great resource that we could try to maximize our use of it more, and that we could try and figure out ways to get around the staffing issues. I do know people who you maybe have had applicants who
mm-hmm.
definitely, like, they prefer to work on Sundays. I think there's got to be people out there who may actually want to work on Sundays, kids who can't find time in their schedule, other days, and maybe mm-hmm. they wouldn't be able to work every Sunday, but at least it would alleviate having to,
mm-hmm.
if there are kids who don't want to work on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think, Norma, you brought up two points. One is there's a staffing challenge, and that's mm-hmm. that is what it is. And then there's a question of, would it get utilized?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not going to utilize, the staffing challenge is irrelevant, because there's no point in having it open if no one's going to use it. So I think for me, the question is, how do we see, I don't know, how long ago was it that we were open on Sundays?
Hasn't been that long ago. Because I can't remember, I went to the city administrator, and it was just challenging. I mean, you know, when someone doesn't show up, I have to work
mm-hmm.
because I do not have an overtime budget
mm-hmm.
to work the full-time staff overtime. I just don't have it. Mm-hmm. And we have so many events that we juggle leaving early one day, coming in late another day so that we can get the events that we have, because we have a lot of special events.
Mm-hmm.
And our special events, everybody works. It's not, we just don't have a huge staff. There's seven of us full time, that's counting me. So if somebody doesn't show up for work, then I have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much I'm saying, I don't want to work on Sundays.
Yeah. Well, I can appreciate
absolutely.
That.
And I think so.
Right.
I think the first thing we need to do, though, is figure out, has something changed where there's actually more demand for Sunday usage? So I would put that question to you. How do you think we can kind of determine that, And I also wonder if there might be some seasonality aspect to being open on Sundays. I don't know if it needs to be year-round or not. That's another question to ask. But I think right now it's, we know this is the season when it would be in demand because of the weather.
Right.
So the question that I would put to you is, can you figure out a way for us to see what demand would be? And I'm going to go ahead and answer a little bit of the question by saying I don't think a survey is the right because people do what their actions speak much louder than what they put on a survey. Because if you say, would you be interested in the sun and going on Sunday, you're going to have 100% people say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But
whether they show up,
they show up or not is a question to be answered. So I also simultaneously, as just like a planting a seed as a thought for the seasonality, you may find that some folks would actually be open to volunteering. If there was such demand for people who were really dead set on having the rec open on Sundays, you might have some citizens who are responsible and capable of handling those duties open to volunteering. I don't know, but we had Rebecca and Jessica who have put in copious amounts of hours for the farmers market.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are people like Susan who are passionate about, you know, keeping the rec center open on Sundays who might be willing to do that as well.
I think it maybe is someone we could try in the fall. Maybe the winter months we could do it. The spring, I don't think there's going to be that much demand.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteers, and volunteers are wonderful. But once again, if I have somebody in that building, they're responsible. Mm-hmm. If somebody falls out, we've got to do CPR. Mm-hmm. If something happens, we've got to call the police.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little different than a farmer's market.
It's different. And also, they have to be able to register folks. You know, if we're open, we've got to be ready to fully operate. If somebody wants to register and take money and
go through clearance.
So what would the staffing, if you were open from noon to 5 or noon to 6.
I need two people.
You need two people there. Mm-hmm. Could you have two people that are like some of your teenage employees? Mm-hmm. Or would you feel like you had to have somebody with more supervisory experience?
I think we could use our part-time employees. They're very responsible. They do an awesome job. But our part-time employees are smart kids that are involved in their school programs and band and someplace sports. And we work around their schedule.
Well, and I respect that. Well, and especially now that this isn't necessarily a group that would have signed on thinking I'm going to be working on Sundays.
Right.
And I know, because I know some of the families that they don't want their kids that they like having Sunday to themselves and not having that possibility that their child might have to work on Sunday.
Right.
So I respect that, but is there a way to add more staffing into the mix to make it more possible?
We can add more staff, but what we have to remember is we have to make it worthwhile for these employees to work here.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're only going to work Sundays, they're going to find something else to do because it's not going to be enough money for them to put gas in their car. So that's why we kind of keep it at 5. That way they all get around 20 hours a week from doing the games, so on and so forth. And as the games or athletics kind of dwindle off, you know, now they're not getting as many hours. So the more people you have on board, they don't get as many hours, and it doesn't make it worth their while.
We've gone through, and we started a while ago, was keeping statistics of who's coming in, our daily flow, and I mean, we have availability to that when you had Sundays open, and see what type of traffic we had, and we pull up that if that datum is available, and pull that up as well.
One more point, if I can. We have gym rules, and not that we can't change our gym rules, but one is no full court play, because if you have adults in there and children come in, I'm not sure how fair it is that they can't play on the other end. You know, could we change the rules and adults play from 1 to 2 and children 2 to, or whatever? Mm-hmm. We probably could do that.
And I think that men's group, they're looking for an opportunity in Sunday. I guess they see Sunday afternoon as a good time for them.
Right.
But an opportunity to have full court play. And it eats at them that there's this gym there that there's no... And maybe an alternative would be to schedule it not it wouldn't be a class, but as an activity that allows for that, you know, adults to have a time when it's not necessarily scheduled teams against each other, but where they can come and
actually have another program that's just for adults.
Pick up.
But see, the other thing you have to understand, if you do that, it's open to everybody.
Well, and so
Not that the those 10 guys are going to be able to have the gym all by themselves.
And actually, I'm talking extensively about this with Mick and playing devil's advocate with him.
Oh, I know how Mick is.
You know, but, you know, what we talked about, like, I'm like, okay, explain to me, how do you see this? Like, what do you think would be a good setup to try and make that opportunity happen? And we arrived at, and you may have a variety of reasons why this wouldn't fly, but, you know, let's say you do have Sunday hours and you're adding a new, time in, could you allow for the possibility in that first hour or 2 hours for residents to reserve the gym in advance, paying money down to do it, like, and that would can help fund the cost of the employees, but like up to a week ahead of Sunday afternoon, they could go to the rec center, reserve that time for their group, and go ahead and pay for it. That's
an issue, because we don't reserve or rent or lease any part of the recreation building or grounds. So if we started that, we would have other issues with taking money to reserve it for a select group. Then I've got to do it for another select group, and then I have to do it for another select group.
Yeah, and a first come
so
serve
type. Open gym is open gym. If we open the gym, then it's got to be for the purpose that it's open for.
Could you have it more like a class where you have, it's not a class, but an activity, but a pay activity where you have open gym time or reserved for a full court basketball, you pay $5 for residents, $10 for non-residents, something like that.
You could, but that gets messy because you have 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, and
or maybe
you know how you distinguish. I don't think,
or like adult time, and then maybe
right.
kids.
I don't think Allen residents are going to want to pay to use the gymnasium because they don't pay to use it now.
But for the opportunity to have full court,
right? I think what we have is we have a men's basketball league, so we already have an adult basketball program.
Gotcha.
And what we did with the adult basketball program is we did designate a time, just as we do the youth sports, where the adults could come in and practice, their teams could practice for the competition.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So we kind of already have what it is you're asking me for. Mm-hmm. It's just not on Sunday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if they participate in 3-on-3 basketball, they have a designated time that they've got the gym.
Right. Okay.
We're going to look at the data and decide, hey, is there, and get out and talk to some more residents about Sundays and then come back and say, hey, we want to make this recommendation either for the spring or the fall. I think we are all agreed.
Spring is going to be awful.
It'll be tough. And I think one of the biggest things is, I think with on Sundays, definitely it's seasonal, and I think it's weather related. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's raining, kids are going to head to the gym because there's nothing else to do.
Right.
You know, if it's sunny, they're going to go to the beach or wherever. It's going to be spread.
Hit or miss.
It's a hit or miss type thing. And like you said, I think a lot of times, as with my kids growing up, they'd be wandering around the neighborhood. They'd go over to the rec center, try to get in. It'd be closed. They'd find something else to do. It was just in their routine.
Right.
I think one of the things, if we can pull that information up, that data, and look at it, and perhaps, you know, approach us again in the fall or what have you.
Well, a quick question. Although I'm interested, winter obviously brings weather challenges, but summer's so hot too.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that is that a popular time, like on Saturdays for
Mm-mm.
no.
Mm-mm. Okay. Like Saturdays, it's not busy at all. It's dead.
Dead.
It's currently so you don't have a lot of usage
in
on
the
Saturday
summertime.
Afternoons.
It's pretty much dead in the afternoons.
Okay. But through the rest of the year, when do you?
It's I have to go back and look, but it isn't that much. What goes in there right now are kids that hang around the rec center every single day. They're in there every afternoon after school, and they
I know some of them.
And they're playing around. And they're playing around on the grounds. And like you say, if it's open, they go in. If it's not, they go in for 10 or 15 minutes, then they get back out, and then they might come back in. And it's not heavily utilized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But we have the information available.
Right. I just want to add one thing about mm-hmm. the overtime issue.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, there is the desire on the part of some of your employees
mm-hmm.
to actually work overtime because they want the money,
mm-hmm.
then what would be a positive thing to do to try to fulfill this need would be to consider an overtime budget when we start working on mm-hmm. the FY19 budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people would like to have, and I know that the demand on the rec staff is high, but if you've got some who would like the additional overtime,
mm-hmm.
then the thing to do would be to budget for it.
Okay. Thank you for mentioning that. The other thing, I kind of threw some numbers together, and I think to open on Sundays year round, we're looking at an additional $10,000 probably a year. But to piggyback on that, right now we have a new challenge that's gonna affect our budget when it comes to personnel is our referees and umpires. The company we've been using are no longer going to be able to help us. So I'm securing umpires and referees right now that will probably go on the payroll as instructors. And so that'll be coming out of our part-time
mm-hmm.
budget as well. So it's going to
be potentially more expensive.
It's going to be more expensive.
Okay.
Okay.
Sunday isn't an automatically a overtime day, is it?
No. What I was suggesting is that among her, she has no overtime budget. So among her full-time people, if they worked more, then they might would be interested in the additional mm-hmm. money.
I gotcha.
Depending on their circumstance.
Okay. Thanks, Norma Jean.
Sure.
Anybody else got anything else? There is no miscellaneous business listed, so we'll be moving on to setting the next. I guess we're getting ready to roll into budget season.
We are.
So, mm-hmm. I would recommend we go ahead and continue our meetings. Anybody had any conflicts for the first week of next month?
No, I was gonna say March 6th would be a great morning for me if this time works for everybody.
That'll work. I can do that. That's
8:30.
8:30. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
That's Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a Tuesday. Creation 8:30. Got it.
Sorry, up front beach fest.
Yes. Perfect.
Cool. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Any other business? Motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Perfect.